السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Something in our deen which we refer to as معاشرة, social interactions. So this word معاشرة, it comes from the word Ishrat, which means happy, pleasurable. So in Urdu we say Aisho Ishrat, meaning a person is in a condition of happiness, ease, comfort. So what is implied here, what instruction we are given, is that our social interactions must be such that it leaves everybody happy. Don't give taklif to anybody. I must not only concern myself about myself, and in the process I am making life difficult for everybody else and causing everybody else taklif and harm. So whether it is in the family circle, whether it is at my workplace, whether it is as a motorist, as a student, as a neighbor, in any situation, my social interactions with people should be such that I don't cause anybody else any harm, I don't cause anybody else any type of taklif. So everybody who comes into contact with me, they will live happily. If they deal with me, they speak to me, whatever the situation is, they will live happily. Everybody will be in peace, everybody will be in comfort. So they should be, our relationships should be full of ease. There should be no bitterness. One should avoid harshness in speech. Avoid harshness in speech and action. One's words and the tone of one's voice should be such as to convey ease and comfort. Otherwise, the desired mu'asharat will be disrupted. Whenever we are in a situation, always ask ourselves that if I was on the other side, then how would I have wanted things to pan out? How would I have wanted things to work out? So if I'm a customer in a shop, for example, and maybe the owner of the business or some staff member in the business or something, maybe they did something wrong, some mistake took place. So put myself on the other side, that if I was on that side, and if I had made the mistake, then how would I have wanted this customer to deal with me? So I should now deal with this shopkeeper in the same way. If somebody is owing me money, and now he's not paying for whatever reason, maybe he's battling, is in some sort of problem. I'm not talking about those that are just taking people for a ride, and those people who intentionally they are taking loans or buying goods, etc. And this is their modus operandi. They don't pay, they play. Some people, they've learned the art of playing with other people's money. So they play with the merchant's money, they play with this one's money, that one's money. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about a genuine case. The person now, maybe he's my tenant. Now his rent is due and he's late for whatever reason. So now I must ask myself that if I was the tenant, if I was the tenant and I was late, then how would I have wanted my landlord to deal with me? So now let me deal with this person in that manner. A lot of times when we have the upper hand in something, then we feel now, right, we can go to town. We just take the person to task, just take the person to the cleaners, just sort them off, because I've got the upper hand. But ask myself that if this roles were reversed, if I was on the other side, right, then how would I have wanted to be treated? We must remember, we are all insan. An insan can always err. Nobody can say that they are perfect, that they don't make any mistakes. So if some mistake took place, whether it's a big mistake, small mistake, so I must remind myself that it could have been me. I could have been the one who made the mistake. But I'm also a human being. One day, Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was addressing the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and one person, he passed wind. So the others laughed. As will happen, if it has to happen in our situation too. Somebody has to pass wind now, and the people know who it is. So now everybody will have a good laugh at that person. And not only that, they'll finish him up worse after the program, and after 1 month too, they'll still be making him here. So Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that why do you laugh at something that you do yourself? Which human can say they don't pass wind? So now, why are you laughing at somebody? Obviously that person is already embarrassed, is already feeling bad. Nobody wants to do that in public. Sometimes you've got no control over the situation. Now he's already feeling bad. Now on top of it, you're laughing at him. Now, how much worse is he going to feel? Right? So now, reverse the roles. What if it was me? There's one incident coming to mind of one senior alim, mufti, pious person. So one lady had come to him. Now that was in the zamana of telephones and emails and whatever. So she had come in person, but obviously she was behind the parda. So she had come to find out a certain mas'ala. And this buzurg, now he was busy with somebody else. He finished with that person. And then this lady, now it was her turn to ask her question. And in that, she passed wind. Now for a lady, even worse now. They feel even more embarrassed there because Allah Ta'ala has blessed woman with more shyness. So now she's feeling even more embarrassed at what has happened. So this buzurg, he just carried on as normal, like he didn't even know what happened. So now she asked the question. So he told her that, sorry, can you just speak up a little bit? I'm a bit hard of hearing. Just speak up a little bit. So now she spoke a little bit louder. So he told her, please man, I still cannot hear you. Just forgive me, but can you please just speak a little bit louder? So all he did to, one is he carried on like he didn't hear anything. But now the thought may come into her mind that he's just being, you know, respectful. But now what he did to put her heart at ease, he feigned deafness. That my hearing is not too good. Just speak loud. So now she must have been total ease now. You know, if his hearing is so bad, then definitely he didn't hear anything. But not only that, it is mentioned that after that, for the rest of his life, he feigned deafness. Because you're living in one village, it's a small, you know, now the world is gone like a village, you know. But in those days, they're living in a little village, so people will come to know. Now if he carried on normal after that, then she would come to know, then she'd feel even worse, that, oh, he just did all that because he didn't want me to know that he knew. So he feigned deafness all along after that, so that her heart must be at ease that he didn't hear anything. So Hazrat Muhammadul Haq Magda Sahib, now Barakatuh, he always mentions this. Isi ka dil rakhna, ye bahut bari cheez hai. Keep somebody's heart, you know. Keep somebody's heart. It's a very big thing. It's a very, very big thing to keep somebody's heart. That doesn't mean we cannot make amar bil ma'ruf nahi anil munkar. That's a different department now. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the most merciful, most compassionate after Allah Ta'ala, the most, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if something was being done wrong in front of him, then he would never be silent, he would never be quiet. Then there is nobody else that would get more upset than him. But the point here is that our mu'asharat, dealing with people, now to be lenient, to be soft, whether it comes to our speech, whether it comes to our actions, somebody may have done something wrong. Now how am I interacting with that person? How am I treating that person? All this is our mu'asharat, our family gatherings, get-togethers, etc. How do I interact with people? Am I like a thorn? That when I interact with people, then I'm only harming people, hurting people. Or when I interact with people, then I'm like a rose, giving off a fragrance. People are happy to interact with me. Not to say that we must be interacting all the time. The less interactions you have, the better. But when we do interact, then don't interact in a manner that gives people taklif. On Saturday, in a nikah bayan, so this was mentioned, that if all of us just follow the same rule book, if everybody is adhering to the Shariat, adhering to the Sunnah, then there won't be any problems. Even if there is a dispute, any dispute takes place, so you go back to someone who can guide us in accordance with the Shariat and the Sunnah. Now because you are adhering to it, I'm adhering to it, he's adhering to it, so even if there's a misunderstanding, we just go back to that. We go back to that. And then whatever the hukam is there, we all accept it. So then there's no dispute left now. Everything is sorted out. The problem comes in when we're all pulling in our own directions. We don't want direction from Quran Sharif, from Hadith Sharif. We're all pulling our own direction. You see currently in South African courts now. So some women, they are taking, now say the husband and wife got divorced, right? So now they are going to court and they are claiming the husband's possession. So some of them have won 40%, 50%, depending on how long they were married, etc. Now that is not according to Shariat. It's not according to Allah Ta'ala's ahkam. Now, if a lady goes that route and she goes to court, she got one hot top lawyer, and the lawyer fights her case and she wins 50% of her husband's, whatever his total, whatever he's worth, so 50% of that is awarded to her. Now, how is she going to answer to Allah Ta'ala? That same like gambling money, no? It's haram money. So sometimes people confuse situations, right? They say, no, we're living in the country, we must follow the law of the land. The law of the land is not forcing you. For example, you take inheritance, right? Now, how many of us that have anything that is to be inherited, how many of us have got our wills in order? And I mentioned this thing before, that if, you know, a person who, he doesn't have too much to his name, maybe a little bit cash, maybe got one bank account, he's a working class man, he's just, you know, rolling month to month, right? So that kind of a person, if he has a generic will, that I just want my, whatever I have must be distributed according to Sharia, so that is fine for him. But now, a person who has got properties, he's got businesses, he's got trusts, right? And you got some investments and some partnerships and all these things are happening. Now for him to just sign one generic will, he's putting the executor into taklif. So how does the executor sort all these things out now? So one side, for SARS, we want to do certain things now. Form this trust, form that, form this, so we pay less taxes. Right? But then we don't think that how is all this going to impact on me in the qabr now. Because now all my mamulat is all upside down here. Yeah? This property is in a trust. But the trust is just there to save tax. It's not really the people who are shown as the beneficiaries of that trust. They're not really the beneficiaries of that trust. That whole thing belongs to me. I just made the trust there just so I save on some taxes. So for the dunya I'm fine, I'll save on the taxes. But the day I pass away, now everything goes upside down. My estate now is not going to be wound according to Sharia. Sometimes people, they take one property, they put on some friend's name or somebody's name, right? Why? Because they're going through some other dhamma in their life. So now they put that thing on that person. Now you think that person is your friend. But money does funny things, right? Money does funny things. Now the day you pass away, now that property is supposed to be going to your family, it's their haq. That person say, I don't know what you're talking about. This title deed here, this is my name. Belongs to me. So all these things have to be put right. Now for example, if a person doesn't have a will, then his estate now, if you don't have a will, if you didn't stipulate any will, now according to the law, South African law, your estate will go interstate. Not inter-Cape bus, eh? The students earlier, inter-Cape, they think that time for holiday, no. So your estate will go interstate. Meaning now, according to the law of the country, whom has inherited that estate, they'll inherit. Right? So most probably, it's just the wife and the children. But now if your parents are alive, if you didn't have any sons, then that means your siblings have to inherit all the other laws that come in. But now because you didn't have a will, Now you say, no, well, according to the law of the land, the estate must be wound interstate. But you are not forced to do that. It's like these ladies now that are going to court, they say, no, the South African law is allowing us this. Yes, South African law may be allowing you. Are they forcing you? They're not forcing you. So sometime a lady will argue, but now I was married to him 20 years, 25 years, 30 years. I gave him the best years of my life. And now after that, he only maintains me for 3 months in that period. And then khalas. So that 25 years, 30 years you were married to him, so was he not maintaining you all the time? So if the husband was following deen and shariat, he was looking after her properly. If Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with surplus wealth, right, now he got so much of money, so then maybe he gave her some property, he gave her some investment, he gave her a couple of things. So now why must she fight with him after that? But the husband also, he behaves like a kanjus, makki chus. He too doesn't want to part with anything. And then when there's a problem, then she feels he made me work, he made me do this, he made me do that, and now what do I get? I get nothing, I just get 3 months maintenance. So then she's going to run to the courts. So if she goes to the Jamiat office, then they'll tell her, but sorry Ben, that's all that's due to you. But now whose fault is it? Is it not their husband's fault? He wasn't giving her nafaka, he wasn't looking after her. So he's supposed to be doing his part. So when both are going to have the fear of Allah Ta'ala, and both are going to act according to the Shariat and the Sunnat, then there won't be any problem. But when either one wants to pull in another direction, then that's when the problems will start. That's when the issues will start. So when it comes to our mu'asharat, the people that we have to show the utmost respect to, the most amount of compassion, the most amount of mercy, etc., is our parents. From all the people that are alive in our life today, even our sheikh, even our ustads, the people that enjoy the most right over us is our parents. The parents, they enjoy the most right over us. So when it comes to our parents, so much so that if a person is involved in some nafal ibadat, his father calls for him, his mother calls for him, he must leave that nafal ibadat. He must leave it and go and attend to them. Go and see to them. There is so much of thawab, so much of reward to be obedient to one's parents. Follow their instructions. As long as they are not instructing us to break any of Allah Ta'ala's ahkam, then we must follow their instructions. Today it is sad that children are not even speaking to their parents with respect. In the time of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned about people that will swear their own parents. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were surprised. They said that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will people actually swear their own parents? Now imagine they were coming from a background of Jahiliya, right? But they too couldn't understand this thing, that people will swear their own parents. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to them that yes, a person will swear somebody else's mother. He'll swear somebody else's father. So you're going to swear that person's mother or father, what that person going to do? That person going to swear your mother, your father now. So now who was the cause for your parents to get sworn? It was you, your own action. That was then. in this zamana we living in, the children are swearing their parents. Forget swearing indirectly, that swearing somebody else's parent and that person is swearing their parent. No, they swearing their parent directly. Now, Quran Sharif tells us that mustn't even say oof. Imagine Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he got married and he himself mentions, he said that I liked this wife that I got married to. I had feelings for her, I liked her. But Umar radiallahu ta'ala, for dini reasons, he advised his son Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu that you must divorce this wife. Abdullah ibn Umar, now he likes the wife. So he doesn't want to divorce. The matter is taken to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hears them out. Now obviously, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he was acting on his feelings. The feelings that he had for this wife of his. Not girlfriend, by Toba. Sahaba never have girlfriend. There's a wife, somebody he got married to. Today's time, the young people, they are already talking, they are already in communication, dating and all of that. And then the parents come to know. Now when that girl is tired of dating, then she say, no, but now, you know, you got to come with the proposal now. So now he's in a corner now. So now he has to tell his parents, have to go and have samosa over there. So the parents, when they hear who it is, they say, no, sorry, bhai. We can't go there. Now the fight starts now. But where the problem began is he went and got involved there. Now there's emotions now. There's feelings now. If there were no feelings, if he just, somebody just told him, no, there is one girl there, if you're looking to get married, if he came and told his parents, and the parents said, no, but you see, you won't be compatible with that family or that girl or whatever, then halas, right, move on. There's many fish in the ocean. Move on. Move on to the next one, right? But now because there's feelings now, they're talking, already finished promise, they finished decide what color they're going to paint the house. All the discussions are finished now. And now the parents say, no, sorry, can't go. So now the jagra starts. Now the fight starts in the house. And you're not even married to the person. But here, Abdullah ibn Umar, he's already married. He's already his wife. But Umar radiallahu anhu is not happy. And then the matter goes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hears them out. Hears Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu out. And he realizes that Umar radiallahu anhu, he's got good solid reasons. And Abdullah ibn Umar, he is more now acting on his emotions. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu and told him, divorce her. Divorce. No questions asked. He divorces her. Father is not happy. Divorce her. We're coming towards Qurbani, right? Coming towards Qurbani. Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam, he comes to visit Sayyiduna Ismail alayhi salam, and he's telling him that this is what I saw in my dream. Immediately, my beloved father, do as you have been instructed. No stories, but Abba, Papa, Daddy, You left us here, you know, you left us for dead. No food, no water, nothing now. My mother took care of me, brought me up. And now when I'm at an age, I can assist my mother a little bit, I can do something. Now you come and now you're saying, you must slaughter me. No. They understood the maqam of the parent. The parent said this, finish. And before it was like that. But this generation, no. This takeaway generation, no. Got their own story, their own opinions, their own, pull their face, walk away. No, it's our right and it's my life. And so sometimes you listen to the disputes also, sometimes marital disputes. The daughter-in-laws today, no respect for the in-laws in so many families. In some families, so much of adab, so much of respect. Those families that gave preference to deen, you see, so much of adab, so much of respect. And in other families, no respect. The girl is sitting in front of you, the mother-in-law is his mother. Not even mummy. His mother. No adab, no respect. The daughter-in-law gets a child, no, mother-in-law can't touch that child. You finish, have your turn. It's my baby, this. I need to bath the child, I need to do this, I need to do that. And then when things get too heavy, then must employ one nanny. And then when they're stuck and they don't know what to do, then must go for mums and tots and all these funny. The mother-in-law could have taught you all that thing for free with muhabbat, that is her grandchild, she'll go grow the child up nicely. At the end of the day, who grew your husband up? But no. No adab. Adab is gone. So how the children are speaking to the parents, they're slicing their hearts. How they're speaking to the parents, slicing their hearts. And then they only got their own selfish motives. When they want something out of the parent, now they come talk very, very sweet. And the parents are soft-hearted. Sometimes those parents, they got a little bit of savings, they got some investment, they got something. That now when we get old, we won't be able to work. We got this little nest over here. We will eat off it. Now that child comes with one bright spark idea. He got one business idea. He going to do this. He's going to do. Because the father, they don't know about business. But the father brought them up. Father brought them up. He ran that business. He grew them up. Got them married, everything. But the Churi's children, no sabar, you see. No sabar. They can't drive that Polo Vivo and come up slowly. No, I must have M3 now. I must have M3 right now. M4 right now. I've got big ideas in the head. No. I've got the business plan now. So now they want that money from the parents. And the parents, bichara, they're soft-hearted. They give the... And now the person goes and blows all that money. Waste. This business thing doesn't work out. Nothing works out. Now he has put those parents into difficulty. One side is he's slicing their heart with his words, and the other side is causing them taklif financially also, putting them into financial distress, financial problems. So we must treasure our parents, those whose parents are still alive, treasure their parents, make their khidmat, take care of them, be good to them. The least we can do is just respect them. Respect them. That's the least we can do. If we can't make khidmat, we can't do anything else. At least show them respect. Talk to them nicely. Show them respect. No matter how powerful we have become, what big businessmen we have become, whatever we have become, Maulana Saab, Mufti Saab, whatever, we are still the child of our parent. That will never change. So don't ever break their hearts, slice their hearts, and put them into takleef and difficulty. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, Allah Ta'ala give you tawfiq, Allah Ta'ala grant the entire Ummah tawfiq. Tomorrow is program in Yasr, and weekend is our overnight program, inshallah. The overnight program will start from Maghrib, because Asr is very early, so we start after Maghrib. We'll decide on the day what time program. Beforehand decide on that time we decide. After Maghrib, you're coming for overnight program, you know you just came, now finished. Now whatever time the program, you know, is being formed. This time, that time, that time, be ready. But most probably you'll have program Maghrib to Isha, after Isha will be meals, then after meals we'll have some other program. And then in the morning, inshallah, before Fajr we'll have our zikr program, after Fajr short program or something. Allah Ta'ala accept, Allah Ta'ala be pleased. I was very, very happy yesterday. One person who owns a farm and they do Qurbani also on the farm, you know. So the last week we spoke about all these things. So the person came and he said that, you know, we are so fortunate to have people in our era who still speak about these things. They give us a reminder, you know. He said that, Mahana, we put all the boards in place, all the rules. But our people don't listen. And this is a sickness in our people. And we must rectify. We'll go to a kafir function. We'll go to a kafir mall. Right? We'll go to any disbelieving place. They'll have rules. That rules will follow. We'll follow all to the T. We'll go to the mall, they'll have their rules where you can park, where you can't park. You can't smoke, you can't do this, you can't do that. We'll follow all the rules. You go to the airport, they got all the boards, all the rules. We'll follow. But as soon as we go to a Muslim establishment, now there we feel, no. We are authorities of our own. We can do what we feel like. Then we don't want to follow no rules. Anybody tell us anything, you want to become aggressive and arrogant. You mustn't be like that. You see, in the mall they got signs, in the airport they got signs, designated smoking area. All the fellas, bichara, they stuffed up inside there, and they're puffing away, because now you can't smoke anywhere else. But the masjid will have no smoking. The fellow will be standing next to them, no smoking sign and smoking. Just no bother. So it mustn't be like that. Wherever we go, there are rules, there are regulations. Must follow the rules and regulations. We go to the farms also, they got some rules in place, they're trying to have some sort of parda, some sort of system, and we must listen to that. If they got signs telling you no photography, no videoing, then why must we go and make videos there and photography and all of that? So we must follow the rules, make it easier for them also, and it's all for Allah Ta'ala, end of the day. اللهم صل على سيدنا بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد ومن وسلم اللهم ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الابرار اللهم انك عفو تحب العفو اعف عنا اللهم انا نسالك العفو والعافيه والمعافاه الدائمه في الدين والدنيا والاخره والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار جزا الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين